It's awesome to come here every Sunday and really live in God's presence every day, to know that we have a God who loves us enough to meet here with us. And I don't know about you, but every time I'm in this place and these guys are leading and we're teaching, I just feel God's presence in our place. And I know that he's doing really mighty things through our worship team, but also in every team. And there's a lot of people working really hard, I think, to carry out God's will in the Goshen and the Michiana community. And I just am so thankful for what God's doing in our church and in our community. My name is David, and I'm a part of the prayer team. And that's one of the teams that's working very hard to stay up with all the different prayer requests that comes in on any given week, and a lot of praises. And we got some great praise for some healing and a number of great praises this week. But I just want you to know that we really value the fact that you would communicate with us here at Restore and with the prayer team so that we can go to God on your behalf. And whether you see your specific prayer request on the up on the screen or not, or whether we speak very specifically to that when someone is up here, I just want you to know there's about 15 people, at least 15 people, that your prayer request comes off to our phones, to our email, through word of mouth, and there are several people that literally hit their knees, arms in the air, bow their head, that go to God on your behalf. And so I would really, really encourage all of you to continue to let us pray for you and let us know what's going on in your life. That said, I take it very seriously to be asked to be a part of the team, and I prepared a lot. Maybe you can tell or not, I don't know, but I prepare a lot for any time I get an opportunity to pray in front of a group or to be in front of you all. And so I had a good thing I was gonna say here, and then I was driving to Grand Rapids last week, and I just felt called to say a few other things before I pray. So it strikes me as, I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, probably 40 years. And my own prayer life and in the prayer lives of every church I've been a part of, it's so very easy, I find, for us to always go to God specifically related to physical healing. I know I go to God almost always, and we should certainly, but it's oftentimes the first thing I go to in terms of what I'm asking God for is things that are earthly, things that are in some ways really temporary. And I don't want you to take it the wrong way. We absolutely are gonna pray and believe God is working miracles in our church body and in the lives of the people we pray for. But I really feel encouraged, and I'd like to encourage us all to also think about our community and the people that are either sitting here or that, like you, like me, maybe in your workplace, in your family, in your friend circle, that need eternal healing. They need the healing that we all know only Jesus can provide through a relationship with him. And I think so often the manifestation of physical healing comes ultimately from the outpouring of our hearts and belief ultimately, and that Jesus is sovereign over all. He's sovereign over the physical, but I want Jesus to be sovereign over all of my friends, family, coworkers' hearts. And so as we go to God in prayer, and as you guys think about the prayer requests that come in, I'd encourage us all to think of people that are in our lives, in our communities, in our workplaces that we need a witness to, and that hopefully we can bring them to Restore or wherever that would connect them to Jesus. So if you would, bow your heads, extend a hand, however you do it, and let's go to God in prayer. God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. God, thank you for the work that you're doing within Restore Church. We believe that you've called us to Goshen Community, the Michiana area, to bring people to Christ and to maybe bring people who have fallen away from Christ back. And God, we thank you for the work that you're doing. God, like every week, we come before you with literally a litany of needs for physical healing. We have cancer in our community. We have cancer in our church body. We have surgeries that are going on. There's a heart transplant, God. Infertility, depression, anxiety, all the things that you already know about, God. But God, we would pray your will in those circumstances. God, we know you're sovereign over the physical, and God, we want you to be sovereign over our hearts. So God, I'd ask for your presence in those circumstances. God, I'd ask for your healing hand in those circumstances. Let God rest mightily on the people who are really struggling today. God, but I'd always ask, and I would ask for our church to be a powerful tool and for you to use us powerfully in the Goshen community, in our community with work and friends and family. God, give us the courage to be bold, but also to be very wise about how we encourage people to follow Christ. God, I want you to use me and all of my friends here as an instrument to bring people closer to God and ultimately to the living water, the water that requires no further healing, God. God, in closing, I'd like to pray over Gene. Make the words that Gene says your words, and help those words to help everyone here take whatever the next step is that you ask of their hearts and their relationship with God. God, thank you today for everything you've done for us. Thank you for my friends here. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. We love you, Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. For you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. One more time, we say hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Matthew 6, 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing? Yet Solomon, King Solomon, in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? And what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You may be seated. Morning, I'm Gene. I'm one of the pastors here at Restore Church, and I'm 1 week in that I can actually say that, because last week, if you were here, you know that we commissioned Jordan and Brax as staff pastors, and so it's been incredible to take that step with them. The passage I just read is our scripture passage for today, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. We'll be referring to that as we go through the morning, and so I'd invite you to turn to that on your phones. If you have the YouVersion app or you have a Bible, you can turn to that, and you can keep up as we go through. How many of you guys have seen the new Lion King movie? Yeah, a whole bunch of us have. Hakuna Matata. What does that mean? Yeah, it means no worries. Want me to sing it? No. Hakuna Matata, right? That was the thing that in 1994 when the movie came out, my kids, Cody was 4 years old when the movie came out. It was one of the first movies you would have seen in a theater. And when Mufasa died, Cody just like came in close and we cried. We cried about that death. It was the movie that the kids wore out. And when I think about everything that movie represents, Hakuna Matata is one of those things that jumps out at me. That's one of the things I remember. Because we're talking about anxiety and worry this morning. So, Hakuna Matata, you can just think about that. Every time I say worry, you just ain't no worries, right? It means no worries. When my daughter Morgan was a little girl, she would come home from school sometimes, and she'd say, "Mom, I have a pokey tummy. My tummy is poking." And, if Brenda would have been an anxious person or a worrier, my daughter may have grown up to be an anxious person and a worrier because she had the tendency from the get-go. Things at school would give her the pokey tummy. And it required Brenda or myself to sit with her and say, okay, what's causing this feeling you have? What happened at school today? And more often than not, it had something to do with relationships at school. Things happened in my little girl's life that caused her to be anxious, and it physically manifested itself in her body. The reason we talk about worry and anxiety, one of the reasons is, the primary reason is because Jesus talked about it, right? Here he is sitting on the side of the hill, talking to his disciples. People gathered around him, and he starts speaking truth into their lives. Can you imagine the anxiety those people had in those days? If today we have the amount that we do, and we live in a modern era, what was relevant then is relevant now. I've titled this morning, War and Peace. War and Peace. See, we want peace, but we're constantly at war. We want to eliminate the toxicity, extract the anxiety from our life and our relationships. Except that we say that we want it out, but we get really comfortable with the chaos. It's like a warm blanket that we put around us. But if somebody doesn't start trying to get that blanket from us, we create some kind of drama to make sure that the blanket doesn't comfort us too much. Like, we want to get it off of us so that we can be anxious because that's what we're accustomed to. The worrying, the stress. It is ulcerating our physical bodies and it's pushing our cortisol levels to extreme highs. It destroys any chance of peace, which in turn robs our joy. Here's the thing. We often just don't stop long enough to even assess what's causing our stress, which further destroys our peace. King David in Psalm 139, listen up. Listen to this. He says, in verse 17, he says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, God, you are still with me." Now, he makes a quick left turn. And he says, "Oh God, if you would only destroy the wicked, get them out of my life. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You ever feel like a yo-yo? That's what David must have felt like in that moment. First, he is lashing out at his enemies, and then he like says, oh, wait a second, God, search me, because I think I have some anxious thoughts in me as well. I wonder this morning if you finished this sentence, if you have your phone or a piece of paper and a pen. Most of us don't have that, but take a note here. because I'd like you to finish this sentence. So the first two words are I am. And I'd like you to identify which of the options you first go to. Don't give it any thought. Just answer the question. I am dumb or smart? Dumb or smart? I am a cheat or I'm loyal? Cheating or loyal? I am uncommitted or committed? I'm late or I'm punctual? I am lazy or I am hardworking? I love or I hate? So I am loving or I'm hateful. Which one? I am giving or I am selfish. Be honest. I am trusting. I am anxious. I'll stop there. Worry and anxiety. Brenda and I were having this conversation last night about the difference between being anxious or having anxiety. Now, we could parse words here, but I think there is a distinct difference. We all are human, most of us. And so we feel anxious sometimes, right? We have moments where we are anxious about something. Maybe there's a test coming up in school, or maybe you're about to preach. You feel a little anxious sometimes. But when we live in anxiety, that's a different scenario than if moments of anxiousness or living in anxiety. Anxiety and worry, one of the highest internet searches, how do I deal with anxiety? How do I deal with worry? It is not just you and I, it is the entire human population across the world that deals with worry and anxiety. Some of us have said, yeah, I have anxiety. It's been in my family, and my mom, my dad, my grandma, my aunts, we're all anxious. Today, I hope that you can put a stake in the ground, that you can say there's a line here, and I'm no longer going to be defined as a person living in anxiety and worry. What's really true about you? I don't know how you answered those questions, how you defined yourself, but what's really true about you? Because today I hope that you can rethink the I am statements and discover who God says you are and who He has designed you to be. I hope you rethink who you are. Let's jump to verse 25 of Matthew 6. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Speaking of clothing, do you like my shirt? This is my Ain't Got No Worries shirt, right? I think it perfectly describes it. A flamingo in sneakers. I don't know. Therefore, that is why I tell you not to worry. So in some translations, it says therefore. And when you see therefore, you got to go back and look at what came before that. And he's referring to the alternatives that were set out in verses 19 to 24 that we looked at last week. He's talking about the treasures. Don't have treasures here on earth where don't invest all your time and energy into the treasures, because that's where they'll just be corrupted and the moths are going to get them. And don't serve both God and money. It can't be done. You have one master. So Jesus instructs his disciples not to worry about the physical necessities and let alone the luxuries that were implied in those verses. Oswald Chambers, in his 19th century, the way he talked, with the way he wrote, he says, Jesus sums up common sense carefulness in a disciple as infidelity. So when we are worrying and we are, when we are anxious, he's calling it infidelity. He says, if we have received the Spirit of God will press through and he will say, now, where does God come in this relationship? Where does God come in this carefully planned vacation? Where does God come in the books you're reading or the social media that you're reading? Where does God come in? And he says he always presses the point. The Spirit of God always presses the point until we learn to make him, Jesus, our first consideration. Whenever we put other things first, there is confusion and there is chaos. Further, Oswald says, take no thought. So don't take the pressure of forethought upon yourself. So don't worry. Don't be anxious. It is not only wrong to worry, he says, it is infidelity. Infidelity meaning there, you have unbelief. When there is infidelity in your relationship with Jesus, there is unbelief. There is mistrust. There is cheating. You ever think about cheating on God? That's odd, huh? But it makes sense because worrying means that we do not think that God can look after the practical details of our lives, and it is never anything else that worries us. I had to read and reread that line. It is never anything else that worries us because at the root of our mistrust, at the root of our infidelity, it is simply a lack of trust in our good Heavenly Father. Have you ever noticed what Jesus said would choke the word he puts in? Like the word he gives us, his word of faith that he gives us. Have you ever noticed what Jesus said will choke it out? The devil? No, the cares of this world. It's the little worries always. We say, I will not trust what I can't see. And this is where infidelity begins. And the cure for infidelity is obedience to the Spirit. See, the great word of Jesus to his disciples is abandon it. Like, burn it all up. I mean, how much do you want Jesus this morning? How willing are you to even consider what it means for you to abandon everything, give it all away? That's what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. He said, if you want to follow me, because the rich young ruler he was good. Like he said, I have kept all the commandments. And yet Jesus said, one thing still fails you, and that is that you love your stuff more than you love me. And in his case, he said, sell it all, then follow me. And the rich young ruler sadly walked away. Verse 26, Jesus says, hey, look at the birds. Remember, Jesus is on the side of a hill. Nature is all around, and I'm sure there were birds everywhere. So he says, hey, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Hey, look at the lilies of the field. Look at these wildflowers over here. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, one of Israel's most extravagant monarchs, didn't look that good. These flowers look better than he does. But he loves us so much more than he loves those wildflowers. The wildflowers are gone here today and gone tomorrow. He will certainly care for you and I. Why do you have so little faith, Jesus says. See, the point here is not that the disciples don't need to work. Jesus isn't saying, hey, go take a vacation and sit around and just enjoy your life and expect that the money's just going to roll in. You're going to have food to eat. You're going to have clothes to wear. Just kick back. No, that's not what Jesus was saying. Because like the birds, they don't simply just wait around and open their beaks and expect God to drop food in their mouths, right? They're out there and they're getting the food they need to survive. They're working at it, but they don't fret about it. The flowers, they don't toil or spin. God takes care of his people. And Jesus closes this little statement with the thought that the root of anxiety is always unbelief. In verse 31, he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You guys, it is our priorities that are so often out of whack. We get focused on what we don't have. Not just what we need, but what we don't have and what we want to have. And yet, the unbelievers, those who have not given their lives to Jesus, those who sit closed-handedly and worry and have anxiety, we've aligned ourselves with them when we do the same thing. We've aligned ourselves with unbelief. So I believe we need to set goals of greater significance. We have to go after the kingdom, pursuing the first three petitions in the Lord's Prayer. We talked about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Bless your name. So bless the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Those are the first three petitions, and they're all about aligning ourselves with the Spirit of God. And when we do, Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow takes care of its own. Tomorrow will bring its own worries, and today's trouble is enough for today. We can parse words again, the words of worry and anxiety, and then we say, oh, no, I'm just concerned. I'm just concerned. Well, concern moves us to action, and worry simply immobilizes us. Worry immobilizes, concern moves us into action. So go ahead and use concern to describe what you're doing, if you're honestly concerned. I had my own experience with this week, and I realized that, well, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine about this topic, anxiety and worry. And he said, oh yeah, a couple weeks ago, you were telling me about this situation that you lost sleep over. And he said, that's kind of what you're talking about, right? And you know what my impulse was? Immediately, I was like, no. I was very concerned about it. I had a moment where I didn't know how it was. I went on and on. And I caught myself in the middle of that, realizing that what I was doing was explaining away my own anxiety, my own worrying, because I didn't want to admit that I would be anxious. And it's interesting what we do unconsciously sometimes. And so this morning, I hope you hear me talk, as you hear me talk about this, that I'm saying, hey, push the pause button sometimes. Get a grip on what your thought process is. Is it healthy? Is it healthy? Is it exemplifying a confident relationship with Jesus? Or are we leaning into the brokenness and the mistrust and unbelief? A couple things you might want to take notes about. There are some key points here. Because I think if we're just going to talk about anxiety and worry and leave it there, we miss something. And so here's some tools, some things that you might consider. The first one is intake. So I am no mechanic, right? But I have heard of an intake valve before. And an intake valve is part of internal combustion engine, that's what it is. And it's part of it's a valve in the cylinder head. And it allows the right amount of fuel and air to come into the engine so that the engine runs properly. So it's sort of a gauge, right? So fuel and air through that, and it monitors it. Now what happens when the fuel-air mixture is off? Well, those of you that are mechanics know that you're going to have problems like you're going to have a rough idle. So the car is probably going to start shaking a little bit. You're going to have reduced power. Your engine's probably going to backfire and misfire. These are all symptoms of valve burn. It has to do with what is coming through. What is going into the intake valve? And my question for you this morning is, what are you taking in? What are you taking in? Because whatever you're taking in is going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? One of the things I've learned is that cellulitis and worry, neither one of them go away with prayer. It all has to do with intake, right? Fat and worry don't go away by just praying about it. You got to take some action, right? It depends on your intake. When I was a kid, garbage in, garbage out, it had more to do with, rock music mostly. It's like, what you listen to, you know, it's true. But sometimes the things we think are garbage, well, I won't get into it. There is some bad stuff out there, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Has to do with your intake. Whatever your output is what's going to be your intake. Your intake is going to determine your output. You all have phones, right? I don't think we can say enough about what comes to us and what sits in our back pocket all the time. We have the power. There's a power off button on here. I think most of us should use it more often. Or you could silence your phone. Or you could assess the kind of apps that are on your phone and how are those helping you or not helping you. It's about your intake. Imbalance. Some of us live in a perpetual state of imbalance. We think everything is top priority, but not everything is. Not everything is even important. See, when we're stressed or anxious, we take on responsibility for things that we have no control over. When we are focused on horizontal relationships, in other words, person to person. Now think about this. Horizontal means flat. All right, so I'm just going to think about a picture of a flat roof and the struggles, the worries, the anxieties, they just pour down on that roof. That's a horizontal relationship, right? If we're concerned about those around us more than we are about God, that rain coming down, the worries and anxiety are going to cave that roof in. But if our relationship is mostly vertical, the rain's going to come down. It's going to go roll right off of us. And the beauty of that is that the rain comes down, and it instead of weighing us down, instead of crushing our roof in, it allows for things to grow. Great, the rain comes down, saturates the ground around us. When we are in a vertical relationship, when we're more concerned with the Spirit of God, with our relationship with Jesus. This is not exactly one, but you could be. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. All the things we're concerned about, sometimes it doesn't even matter. Because we think about what other people are thinking, and it doesn't even matter. It matters what your Heavenly Father says. Check this one. Indecision. Does indecision ever cause stress or anxiety in your life? Yeah, it does. You've been dating her for 6.5 years. You should probably either cut her loose or make a decision to marry her. Maybe that's somebody in the room right now. If it takes you 20 minutes to decide what you're going to eat at a restaurant, just stay home and eat. Indecision will turn you inside out. Sometimes you just have to decide. Well, I'm checking out all these churches. This one's great. This one, not so much. I'm going to go back to that one. You should decide. You should decide. Step in somewhere. Embrace what's happening and get on with life. Integrity. Integrity is another one. Integrity, lack thereof, is going to create a lot of stress in your life. Because if you're this person at work, and you're this person at school, and then you're this person at home, and at school, and at church, oh, yeah, at church, you're really somebody else. If you are trying to remember who you are, wherever you are, you might be living with a lack of integrity. Integrity comes from the Latin word whole or complete. That's what we're shooting for, is wholeness, is completeness. And we get that when we align ourselves with Jesus. You know that the imagination that God gave you is another source of stress and worry? But you can take it back. You don't have to be all up in your head. Jesus calls us to be self-controlled. Take every thought captive. That's what he calls us to. If you are good at worrying, you are probably good at worship. Just use your imagination for a good purpose instead of for a bad purpose. See, God is creator. He is creator God. And you and I have his DNA, which means that his imagination is unlimited. His creative ability is unlimited. And he has placed that into you and I. We have his DNA. We are created to think his thoughts. In Isaiah, he says, "See, I am doing a new thing." Can't you see it? I'm doing a new thing. So answer me this morning. Does God know your situation? Does he? Does God know your situation? Yes. Is it too hard for him to handle? Some of you are getting this. Does he have a good plan for you? See, we have for too long submitted to the authority of the evil one. But his authority has already ended. If you've released your life into the hands of Jesus, if you've said, "I'm giving you my life," then Satan has no authority over you as a follower of Jesus, because you can now walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling of God on your life, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Jesus. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, who has redeemed us and who has forgiven us. Every Sunday we pray. We have a moment of prayer and praise. Dave led us exceptionally well this morning. We have this moment and we have a verse, like a theme verse for our prayer and praise moment, which is Philippians 4:6. But there are a few other verses before Philippians 4:6, which help us get to where 6 takes us. Rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4 says. And I will say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. That's the preface to 6. And then 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens when we do that? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, this is the hope that we have as followers of Christ, a hope for the future, not a hope filled with doubt, but a sure hope for the future, a hope that says, why worry about the uncertainties of tomorrow? God's strength is for today, not for tomorrow's test. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Our future is in God's hands, and our only provision is the hope found in Him. The certainty of His sovereignty is our only guarantee. God doesn't give you hope for the needs of today. He gives you strength for your immediate needs, and He expects you to do something about them. So whatever your need is today, walk confidently in the strength of your God for the needs of your now. And if you have a concern about tomorrow, tomorrow's strength will be deposited in your account first thing tomorrow morning, not a moment before. And until then, put your hope in Christ alone. Would you stand with me? God, thank you that even in these moments where we feel anxious, where we feel out of sorts with our position in life, we lean into worrying and anxiety, and we leave the trust that we have experienced, the victories we've experienced in our lives, the things that have happened in our lives that have pointed us towards you, your grace, your mercy. We leave those behind, and we step into places where we don't trust anymore, where we commit infidelity in our relationship with you. And this morning, God, we say we come to the end of that. We declare that these things will not be representative of us anymore. God, we want to be people that that make decisions in a way that is glorifying to you, that we live our lives, every part of our lives, that we live it with integrity, that we will be balanced in our life, that we will prioritize those things that need to be prioritized, that we will monitor the things that influence us, that are taken, the things we're taking in. God, we resolve to be the people that you've called us to be. And we align ourselves again. We want to be in a vertical position with you, that we have a vertical relationship straight to you. And much less about the horizontal that happens all around us. Let our eyes be focused on you, God. Bring healing and restoration where we need it. Transform our lives again this morning for your glory and your honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to call the prayer team up front. They'll be up front. This morning, it just makes sense that if you're dealing with anxiety and worry, stressed out, and you need someone just to pray with you, this morning would be a great morning to address those things in your life. And I encourage you to come as we sing this last song.